Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I've ever started an interview with something like this.
No.
Emily Maynard Johnson, she's the author of I Said Yes, My Story of Heartbreak, Redemption, and True Love. America's sweetheart, Emily Maynard, is known by millions for her unprecedented appearances on both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. But what very few people know is she can really sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with us, Emily Maynard Johnson. Did you hear that, Emily? Can you sing like that?
I did. Of course.
Can we have your version, please?
I will have it sent over.
Emily, I needed to start our interview off with that because, well, I also have to start off this way as well. I know nothing about you. I didn't watch the shows. I don't watch the show. Is it still on? Is it on girls?
Oh, yeah.
I got to check with the girls, the interns here. I'm sorry to sound like an ignorant putz when it comes to this.
That's okay. That's bragging rights for you.
What, that I don't watch this?
Yeah.
No, no.
Me too. No. I want to brag.
No, you're too late. I already said it. So I come to this interview with genuine 100% bona fide ignorance. And I did creep on you a little bit online, of course. I watched some interviews. I did some research. And that was the moment that stood out for me when you horrifically sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star to an egg. To an egg?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. One of my not-so-proud moments.
Wow. First of all, why did the guy have an egg? Was it an ostrich egg or something? A dinosaur egg? What was it?
It was an ostrich egg, and I really have no idea to this day.
Well,
yeah.
I think you're a very...
Clearly, I didn't go on the show to further my singing career.
No, not at all. Emily, what has the media gotten wrong about you that just continues to drive you nuts?
I mean, I try not to pay attention, but I think that, you know, they just don't really get to know people. And I think that girls are harder on girls on each other than really need be. Mm-hmm. So I just try not to pay attention and just try to focus on the nice things people say, even if they're, it seems few and far between sometimes.
So, is the stalking all done? Like, you don't have creepers in the bush or anything like that anymore, do you? That's all finished.
That's all done, thank goodness.
And was it just the paparazzi, or did you, like, legit have creepers?
Well, I lived on, like, a main road in Charlotte, and so a lot of people knew where I lived, and so, yeah, I would have, like, random people stop by pretty often, but for the most part, everybody was really nice, so, you know. Sometimes I'd be hiding. Like, I don't want to answer the door.
So help me understand, again, as a complete tool when it comes to this conversation with you, what happened with the first guy? What happened with the second guy? Why aren't you with the two guys? Because you were with one guy, and then you were with, on another show. And sir, what's the name?
Brad and Jeff.
You see, I don't even know the names. So let's talk about Brad. Oh, wait, hold on. Was Brad like the hunky guy?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So I do know a little bit about him because I've got a friend who's married to his identical twin. And everywhere he goes, the girls are goo-goo over this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, both of them are great, you know, but it's just like in real life, whether you met on TV or in real life, I say, like, if it's not going to work on TV, we wouldn't have made it work in real life either. So it's not like I'm good and he's bad or anything like that. It's just, you know, sometimes relationships don't work no matter how you meet.
Yeah. So, okay, so was that sort of your nice, polite response as to what happened with both the guys? I mean, I want to know more. I want to know what. Wait, who broke up with who? Let's start with the basic question. Did you dump the first guy or did you dump the second guy? Are you the dumpy, the dumper? I want to know about dumping.
I would probably say that I was the one that kind of, you know, maybe knew it was going south a little bit before they did. So
right. So you're the dumper.
I probably let them know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have people say to you, are you insane? Why would you dump? What are the names again?
Brad and Jeff.
Why would you dump Brad? Or why would you dump? You must have had someone say that to you.
People who knew the situation, no one said that. But people who, like, on Twitter and stuff like that, of course, you know, people, they always have their opinions, and so that's okay.
What impact, Emily, do you think the spotlight had on your daughter? Ricky?
Yeah. You know, really, she didn't. She just thought I was off hosting a show with Chris Harrison. So still to this day, you know, if she sees him on TV, she's like, why is he hosting that show without you? Hmm. Like, I don't know. But I really don't think it had a huge impact on her. You know, we stayed in Charlotte. Everything went back to normal very quickly. I still, even when doing the Bachelorette, I was still dropping her off at school and all of that. And like I said, things have gone back to normal.
Did she ever believe it when you told her that people just thought you were Taylor Swift?
No, absolutely not. I will never be that cool.
How old is Ricky now?
She's 10.
And apparently you have 6 other children. Is that right? Megs told me that you had six more kids. How many kids does she have, Megs?
She's got 2, including Ricky.
2, including Ricky, and 1 on the way. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Jeez. Megan's answering before.
This is great. Yeah, Megan answered before you said yes. Yes, I'm right. Congratulations on the 1 on the way. How far along on you are you? Which is a subtle way of saying, are you big?
I am quite big. I just got done eating fried chicken. It's really not baby, though. It's just I use that as an excuse to eat as much as I can. My poor husband.
No, I've seen you. Your husband is not a poor husband. So, you know, all along, I did see in a few interviews that you've said you're not a big fan of the spotlight, or you weren't a big fan of the spotlight or whatever. But then you signed up again for round 2. You know, it just seemed weird.
You're right. It does. You know, you watch the show, and it does seem very hypocritical. But at the same time, I think I was just very naive. I thought, you know, they really do care. They want me to find love, and maybe this is the crazy way it's going to happen. And I just had a lot of faith, and I think that I was just like searching for something that just wasn't there in my life. And I thought maybe this is the way I'm going to find it. You know, people search for things in different ways. I just went a very extreme way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at my life after both shows, I went back to normal life. I never walked the red carpet. You know, I didn't move to L.A. I feel like my actions have proven that.
When was the last time you did The Running Man?
I mean, probably every time I try to embarrass my daughter. Every time she has friends over, pretty much.
Tim, you know what that's like, eh? Embarrassing your kids?
Oh, yeah. I do The Running Man all the time.
That's awkward. I remember showing up at a school. I used to live in Australia, and I would drop the kids off. I had a turquoise blue station wagon.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. I bought it intentionally because the kids were at the age where I knew I could embarrass them to death. And you drop off the kids on the circular, you know, area in
like
front of the
kiss
school.
And ride kind
yes,
of thing, yeah.
And thousands of kids are all hanging around there, you know, whatever. And I pulled up in this turquoise blue station wagon with John Denver's "Thank God I'm a Country Boy" cranked out of the windows. I just want to give you some parenting tips there, Emily. That's a good move.
I'm going to tell my husband. He's going to probably use that one.
That's a good move.
But John Denver would be cool in your neck of the woods, wouldn't it?
Oh, where Emily's from?
Country,
yeah.
Right? So you'd have to have some, like, mega death rock song or something.
Yes. Yeah. I would like to introduce you, Emily Maynard, to our intern, Megs. Megs the intern is what we call her. And we don't normally let our interns, you know, play in the show at all because they're just interns. Nobody really cares about them. But she was just absolutely gobsmacked, as they say in Australia, when she found out that you were on our show today. Do you mind talking just to a little bit of a creeper fan here for a second?
Of course.
Let me just introduce you. Emily, this is Megs.
Hi, Megs.
Hey. I'm pretty excited. This is a cool moment.
It's a good moment for you, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. I feel like such a dork.
There's got to be some perks to being an intern on this show. So do you watch all the episodes? Have you watched them all?
I started watching The Bachelorette first. I watched Ashley's season when she got engaged to JP, and then I was hooked ever since.
Really? What is it about the show that you love?
I'm just such a loser, and I get so invested in these people's lives. And, like, I think it's so brilliant that you know, they pick somebody who gets utterly, you know, humiliated and heartbroken to be like the next bachelor,
right,
you know, after the bachelorette rejects them. And then I'm like, oh, I have to find out what happens to them.
Yeah.
And then they just keep it going. They pick a heartbroken girl to be the bachelorette.
Yeah.
And I can't stop. I have to make sure they all turn out okay.
What was your impression of Emily Maynard back in the day?
Oh, no, seriously, I absolutely loved you. My favorite thing about you was just that you were clearly such a devoted mom. And that's such a standout. And I got to commend you for it.
Wow, that's a nice suck-up comment. Well done.
I really mean it.
That's the best compliment I could get.
Yeah, good for you. Now, you know she wrote a book, Megs.
Yes, I am aware.
How are you aware of that?
I have read the book.
Wow. And what did you think about
what
did you think about all the God stuff in the book, you know? Because this whole God thing with our show and you being here and stuff, that's kind of a new weird phenomena for you.
It is.
I'm going to ask you specifically. Do you think Emily Maynard was a little preachy, or was she legit and kind of authentic?
I think considering that I'm not particularly religious and she is, I still loved the book. And I absolutely respect that her relationship with God, you know, bettered her life and made her very happy and helped her find true love. How could I ever resent that?
Yeah.
And it was very interesting to read about that journey. And, you know, I'm nothing but excited for her.
Wow. What do you think, Emily? We just brought you a bona fide fan here who is just completely in love with you. And she said really awesome stuff.
I think that's great. Thank you so much. I'm going to call on you guys every day.
Okay.
Just call Megs.
Yeah. We can talk. Yeah.
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 When you know that there's a lot of young girls like Megs, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay. A lot of young girls like Megs, Emily, who are watching this show. Is there any part of you now that you're out of it that looks back and would say to Megs, "Oh, come on, girl, don't watch that"? Or are you just want to cheer her on in this whole thing?
Well, I think that watching it is one thing, and actually going and participating in it is another thing. I would probably discourage her from participating in it, but watching it, I mean, I still watch the show. I'm always going to be a huge fan of the show. It's fun. It's mindless TV, but it's not real life.
So you would discourage Megs from becoming a bachelorette?
I probably would, yes.
Why? It just, I don't know. Megs, wouldn't you like to be a bachelorette, though?
Honestly, not even a little.
Oh, okay.
No.
Right. I totally missed that
one. Done your job.
No, I completely agree. Like, the show is very entertaining, but it's, you know, junky and a way to pass the time. And I like to watch it with my girlfriends while we drink wine. It's not something I want for
everybody.
Myself.
And make fun of everybody, yes.
Yeah. And,
that's
you know,
why I watch Benny Hinn.
And Jerry Springer.
Yeah, and I am a huge dork, and I do maybe get a little too invested, and I read the subreddit and, you know, all those things. But I don't want it for myself. The only thing I want is the free travel. I don't think it would be worth it.
Have you ever cried during an episode?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I've had moments of sadness, but no tears.
Well, just before we say goodbye to Megs and let me get back to the Drew Marshall show, if you don't mind, is there anything else you want to ask or say to this lovely lady on the phone, one of your I don't know, people you look up to? What do you call them again?
Idols.
That's it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm very, very happy that you found Tyler and your, you know, newfound joy. That's great. And what I was wondering is, you know, what differentiated Tyler, you know, from the other men that you've, you know, been engaged to or dated? What makes him special?
Well, I think that he had this confidence about him that I knew he was different. And it wasn't a confidence that he had from, like, you know, how great looking he is or how good he is at this or that. It was just a confidence that, like, I mean, I know that you're not super religious, but truly who he is and how confident he was and who God made him to be, and his flaws and everything. And I just thought that was so special. And he was just such a gentleman and just real and wanted to get to know my heart. And I really love that about him.
You know, Megs, I want to paint a little picture here because you may not realize this. But just because Emily Maynard is a Jesus girl and she's written a book here and talks about her faith pretty openly, et cetera, she's still pretty stinking normal.
Yeah.
Like, she still has a potty mouth once in a while.
I can relate, yeah.
Right? And that's why I brought that up, because, you know, sometimes we look at you sort of Christian celebs, Emily, and we think, oh, you know, you're so perfect. But I know you're not perfect. Oh, I've heard.
I'm definitely not. And I'm very open about that. And I think that's the cool part about being a Christian is you don't have to be perfect, but you're forgiven for everything anyway.
I can get behind that.
There it is. There, I can sign up for that program. Well, is there anything else? Just before we get back to me, if you don't mind.
One more question.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, you let me have an in. Okay. You shouldn't have.
I know.
You know, like I mentioned, I think it's, you know, really wonderful that you're such a good mom. But, you know, what was it like when you were a single mom trying to balance, you know, being there for Ricky, but also, you know, having your own identity and doing, you know, things that interest you?
It was really hard. And that's probably part of the reason I decided to go and do the show, because I wasn't very good at balancing that. And I just felt like, you know, I'm home all the time. I go to bed at like 8 o'clock, right after I put her to bed. I'm never going to meet anybody. So why shouldn't I go and do this crazy thing?
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Are we done? Can I have my show back, please?
I guess.
Thank
yes.
you. Ladies and gentlemen, Meg's the intern on the Drew Marshall Show. Round of applause for Meg's the intern. Well done. Emily, your story has got a lot of ups and downs in it, but I think one aspect of your story that the media has maybe tweaked on a little too much is like when my friend Candace Cameron Bure wrote a book, and in the book she talked about submission or submitting to Val. The media went yeah. nuts all over that and couldn't believe that whole kind of scenario. In your story, there is the depression and the suicide stuff, and I heard you say in an interview that it wasn't really a suicide attempt. It was an attempt to sort of get attention because you were so down deep in the dumps. Is that about right?
Yeah. I think that whenever you're a teenager, I think you have a lot of emotions and hormones and new feelings that you really don't know how to process. And I certainly didn't, and I didn't do it the right way. And, you know, I really didn't even want to include it in the book because I thought for sure the media would take it and do something different. Yeah. And they did. But I also felt like it was really important to show that it's something that everybody goes through and it's okay to ask for help.
Not that we're saying goodbye yet, but I just want to let everyone know again, we're on the phone with Emily Maynard Johnson. She's the author of I Said Yes, My Story of Heartbreak, Redemption, and True Love. I have the spiritual gift of judgmentalism. I don't know if you can relate to that at all. But, and so when I Googled you and kind of crept on you there online, I wanted to know, you know, because you're a Jesus girl, and so I thought, well, how serious is she about this faith? She's got a book on it, you know, talking about a lot about her faith and stuff. So I went right. This is what I Googled. I Googled your name and the word sex, because I wanted to find out if there was controversy around you, and because I wanted to judge you, Emily.
That's okay.
No, what I was trying to get at is, I remember when I first did watch the show when it came out, you have the hotel night or something? What's it called?
Mm-hmm.
The sleepover?
Fantasy suite.
And this is what I found out about you. During fantasy suite times, you didn't get busy.
That's true.
And I got to say, that given the pressure that would come with that television show and the closed door thing and they're plying you with alcohol and whatever else, girl, that took some testicular fortitude, especially since, you know, that didn't exactly happen with the father of your firstborn, right? I mean, you guys were going to get married and then he was killed in a horrible a plane accident. So how do you, I mean, did you sort of re-virginize yourself? That's just, you know, that whole movement in the Jesus scene. What did you do with your sexual identity is maybe the worst question I've ever asked anyone in 13 years.
Well, for me, it was just really important to get to know each of the guys, you know, like I said, the hearts and all that. And I also knew that it was going to be aired on TV for everyone to see. So, you know, that was in the back of my head the whole time, too, for sure.
Sure, sure. But I guess kind of, okay, so you've got a daughter. You don't want your daughter looking at this going, really, Mom?
Right. Even though she's never watched it, thank goodness, and probably won't until she's, you know, maybe after I'm dead, hopefully. But, you know, I didn't ever want her to question that.
What is the one thing that you've written in this book that now that the book has been out, you wonder, ooh, I wonder if I should have included that? Or one thing that you maybe forgot to include and now you think back on it and go, ooh, I should have had this in. Any regrets either way?
No, not really. I mean, it took me about 2 years to write the book. And I really, there were some things that like ABC wouldn't let me put in there about the show. But, you know, I think it wasn't going to be like some crazy bachelor tell-all where I trashed everybody. That's just not what I wanted to do. It's not what the book is about. So, yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
growing up in the South, everybody's a Christian. That's what we hear up here in Canada. You know, oh, hi, my name's
Billy. Everybody says they are.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Hi, my name's Billy Bob. This is my sister / wife, Betty Jean. And we all love Jesus. And Lynyrd Skynyrd or whatever.
And guns.
And guns. And Fox News. Like, at what point in your life did you, you know, finally get to that thing where you went, hold on, am I a cultural Christian? Am I just buying into this Jesus stuff because where I'm from? Or is this a legit faith?
It was really after The Bachelorette. It was like I thought I had a relationship with God. You know, I went to church. I was a good person. I had never killed anybody. And I prayed sometimes, but it was more like just asking God to do things for me, kind of like he was a genie in a bottle. And then I got really serious about it, and I just started to feel the Holy Spirit talking to me, and I just started to read my Bible, and it changed my life. So, I realized it's more than just asking God to do stuff for you.
Yeah. So if I was to hang out with you, I don't know, 10 years ago, and hang out with you now, what would I notice? What would be the difference?
I cuss slightly less.
Okay, yep.
I don't know. I you would have to ask, like, my mom, probably. You know, it's hard to see the change in me, but I think that the people who are around me have seen the change in me. I think I'm a lot nicer, I like to think.
Is your mom there right now?
She is. She's, like, begging me to hand her the phone, but I'm not going to.
Oh, I so want to. Come on. Put your mom on the phone. Let me ask and talk to your mom. Come on. Let me talk. Please. Please.
Now she's too shy.
Oh, now she's chicken out. Okay. All right. All right. I just wanted to get the goods. Okay. So let me just finish this interview with this kind of awkwardness. You didn't sign off on the first two guys because they didn't have, you didn't respect them from a faith point of view, but the last guy, the guy you married, you did. Is there any truth to that?
No. No. I mean, we didn't believe in the same things, but I mean, and that could have had that played a part in it. But at the end of the day, you know, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are all fantasy shows. You know, you're traveling and doing all these things, and I didn't have a 10-year-old daughter to take care of every day, and I didn't have a house to keep clean, and all of that. So, and they didn't, you know, it's not real life, and so. As soon as I got back to my real life, I realized, like, this is just not going to work. I have actual responsibilities, and we're just not on the same page. And I think that happens in normal relationships, too. There comes a time when you realize, like, we just want different things.
Can you just, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. I want to ask you this before we go, because I think this is kind of actually the most important part. For the single moms that are out there dating, what advice do you give them to help them filter through the D-bags that are out there? Because there's something different about a single mom. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been a single mom, but I get the impression that there are a lot of single moms who just want to love and be loved, and they end up falling in love with somebody, and then Buddy has fallen in love with her, but really doesn't understand that it's not just her he's getting. He's getting the child as well. And some guys need to be slapped upside the head for taking advantage of single mom. So what do you say to the single mom to empower her to have healthy boundaries?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the most important thing is to pay attention to red flags. That's something that I did not do. And looking back, I can see, like, why didn't I pay attention to that? Why didn't I see this? And in reality, I did. I just chose to ignore it. And don't settle. I think that a lot of times, especially whenever you have kids, you're just so ready to have more kids maybe, or just have that normalcy, and you're willing to settle for something that maybe you know isn't right. And I think that you'll have whenever it is right, you'll have a peace about it that you won't question it and won't be making up these excuses.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I do worry about, I got to say, my heroes in life, I don't have many because I think most people don't deserve the title, but single moms, they're my heroes. You guys were never designed, well, you're not there anymore, but when you were, you never designed to carry the load that you have to carry. and by yourself. You were never designed to carry that load by yourself. So congratulations. Way to crawl out of it. Way to rise up.
Well, thank you so much.
Emily Maynard, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, it's Emily Maynard Johnson. She is the author of I Said Yes, My Story of Heartbreak, Redemption, and True Love. So much in this book. Now, here's a website for you, isaidyesbook.com. isaidyesbook.com. Or if you just want to, you know, kind of go and creep on Emily, she has her own website, emilymaynard.com. That makes sense. Emily, thank you so much for your time. What a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And it was a real treat for Megs as well. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Everyone knows that little girls need daddy's love, but who's strongly promoting the truth that little boys need mom's respect? Just as Dr. Emerson Eggerichs transformed millions of marriages with a biblical understanding of love and respect, he now turns these principles to one of the most important relationships of all, a mother and her son. Find practical tips and life-changing stories of the transformative effect of respect in the relationships with our children in Mother and Son, The Respect Effect, by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. Available where books are sold.